Welcome to the Fit 40 podcast, where we take all the confusing, conflicting fitness and nutrition information and break it down so that you can live your healthiest, strongest, most energized life. I'm your host, Brian Fitzsimmons. Let's get it started. We're going to be doing our live training this week, which is how to lose weight and keep it off for good, because I know many people here, one, are new and they're not really sure how we do things here and what exactly needs to be done to lose the weight and keep it off for good. And two, it's always a good refresher just in case you get sucked up into one of these unsustainable methods, or whether you're like really just like falling off track and can't figure out why. I hope to answer a lot of questions, give you the action steps that you need, and this way you can really take control over your health and over your fitness so you can get the results that you want. Because let's be honest, everybody hates putting in a ton of hard work for zero result. So let's fix that. All right. So on with the show. So first, I want to start by saying I fell for the hype. Back, what was it, like a year, 2 years ago, I was bought into the concept of reverse dieting immediately, trying to get everybody into a reverse diet, rev up their metabolism, heal their hormonal health. And honestly, now that new research is coming out, and based on the fact that I just like wasn't 100% sure while it was going on, I'm like, this should work. This should work. And then for some, it worked out great. For others, it just didn't. And I'm just like, I don't really 100% buy into this. And it just, for some reason, it like I was looking at every client as an individual and I'm like, this doesn't really seem necessary. This doesn't seem necessary. It was like this blanket approach that a lot of people just were caught up in that didn't necessarily need it. And when it comes to your hormonal health in particular, it's usually impacted negatively by eating too little, which results in losing weight. So if you're the type of person that isn't losing weight or even gaining weight, this isn't you. Okay. Usually a lot of weight is lost, which brings you down to a really low percentage of body fat, and staying at that percentage of body fat with those super low calories, that's what impacts your hormonal health. Okay, now this is usually seen in competitive circles like bodybuilding or CrossFit, and that's where these protocols come from, because this can have a lot of benefit for people coming out of a competition where they're super low body fat and they need to rev their metabolism back up. They need to introduce calories slowly because their body needs to adapt to taking in more calories. And that also usually includes them having insane training regimens and really restrictive eating patterns. So for most people, that's not them. I work with normal people. I don't work with people like this. Okay. For the average person who has been struggling to lose weight and has been gaining weight, the last thing you need is a reverse diet, because clearly you are at a point where your body is not only using the calories, it's storing them. Okay. So the concept learns while, let me back it up. After saying all of this, the concepts that people learn during reverse dieting are really what most people are missing. Not the fact that we're systematically raising calories. It's the benefits of those concepts that are learned, like improving your sleep, like improving your quality of food. And for some, these need to be learned without the stress of a calorie deficit. Let me repeat that. These concepts, for some people, need to be learned without the stressor of a calorie deficit, because when you put yourself into a deficit, that is a stressor to your body. And if you are stressed beyond belief with work, with kids, with taking care of your parents, with everything else going on in life, and you're also working out like a mad person, that's a lot of stress, and it's borderline impossible to learn what you need to learn when that stress bucket is overflowing. Okay. So I believe most people can jump right into a true calorie deficit while learning these lessons, because their motivation is really high to start. And when you do work on those things while your motivation is high, while you're in a calorie deficit, and you're able to exercise a little bit more and work on your water and things like that, some stress level comes down because your sleep may improve. You may be able to handle your mood a little bit better. The swings might be a little less drastic. All right. So before we get too far into the weeds on that, usually most people have one of four issues. One, they go way too low in their calorie deficit and just can't stick to it long enough for 7 days a week. These are the type of people that go into like a weight loss clinic and they say, oh, you got to eat 900 calories and never exercise. And they're like, okay, well, if that's what I got to do. And then you realize nobody can live on 900 calories. So you do it for a week, you lose like 10 pounds or 5 pounds and you're like, wow, this is great. And then the next week you feel like absolute garbage and you're like, I can't keep this up. And then you gain all that weight right back and then some. Number two is they're not eating anywhere near the calories that they think they are due to common tracking errors. Now, a lot of people go into tracking calories thinking, all right, I'll just eyeball it. I'll guesstimate. Like I pretty much know what a serving size is when they have no freaking clue. Unless you're weighing stuff on a food scale, humans are horrible, absolutely horrible at estimating how many calories they're eating. They've literally done studies on this where they say, okay, guesstimate how many calories you're eating, and then we're going to measure it and we're going to see if we line up. And without fail, people underestimate how much they eat by 500 to 1,000 calories usually. And 500 to 1,000 calories can be the difference between staying the same or even gaining weight while tracking calories. Okay, number three, they're doing so much activity that it drives down their NEAT for the day, which makes fat loss harder because they're working themselves like crazy in the gym to the point where they're not doing that extra stuff during the day because they're so tired. And if they're in a calorie deficit, it's even more tiresome. So you're not tapping your foot as much at your desk. You're not opting to take the stairs. You're doing everything with as little effort as possible because your body's slowing you down. Okay. This results in burnout and quitting or fighting tooth and nail for any, like getting barely any results. Okay. This type of person needs to reduce their activity and raise their energy levels so that they get more non-exercise activity thermogenesis. We're going to go over that in a bit, but it's called NEAT, which will result in burning more calories overall. Okay. Number four, they have lost a big chunk of weight. These are the type of people that have been on a fat loss journey. They've seen really good results and then bang, they just hit a plateau. Okay. And when they do that, they just never bring their calories back up out of fear of gaining all the weight back. And what ends up happening is this results in your body adapting and lowering your BMR, because when you stay at really low calories for a very long period of time and lose a ton of weight, you lose a lot of lean body mass. And there is a strong correlation between how much lean body mass you lose and your risk of regaining all the weight back. This is why strength training and building muscle and building bone is so, so important when people are trying to lose weight. Okay. This can be made worse through tons of cardio and no strength training, because when you diet down and just run yourself to death with no emphasis on building and maintaining that muscle, cardio will at a certain point start taking away from your muscle. It will result in losing more muscle because you don't need that much muscle to run. It really comes down to your cardiac output more so than how strong your legs are, how strong your arms are. That's why when you see people who are running marathons and winning them, it's never some really jacked person with a ton of muscle. It's always somebody that barely has any weight on them at all, because your body makes you more efficient for running. And when you run, less is better. And that doesn't just mean fat, that means less muscle too. This person is ideal for a reverse diet since they already lost a good chunk of weight. Notice that's the key thing here. They already lost the weight. So they've already done that part. We're going to get into exactly what these separate parts are. So before we go any further, let's understand your daily calories. So when it comes to your daily calories, there's something called your total daily energy expenditure. That's made up of four things, four ways that you burn calories. First is BMR. This is the biggest chunk of the pie. About 70-ish percent of your entire daily calories that you burn is your basal metabolic rate. This is also referred to as resting energy expenditure because it's the amount of calories you burn without doing anything. This is just what you need to survive if you were to like lay in bed all day. Next is non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT, like we just talked about. That's another, like, what would that be? 15 to 20-ish percent. Okay, so these are the two big ones. Then it's the thermic effect of food, which is your TEF. That's how many calories you need to burn and to process and excrete all the food that you eat. And then last but not least is exercise activity thermogenesis. This is the smallest piece of the pie. This is your exercise. This is why people that try and outwork a bad diet can't do it, because exercise doesn't really do much for fat loss. Exercise is really good when it comes to improving aspects of your health, like your cardiac health, building muscle, building bone, but it is garbage for burning body fat, unless you are building muscle so that when you lose body weight, you're losing a higher percentage of body fat. So here's how we do it when it comes to the way we do it at Fit 40. Okay. There's three levels. There's the foundations, mastery, and the transition. Okay. Now, any clients listening, this basically is what we do. I just have made it simpler, more streamlined, and it's basically the way that everybody has seen results. Everybody has just done it in different ways. Okay. Now, this is the way that most people see incredible success, but you can manipulate it based on where you're at in your journey. But for most people who are in that place where it's like, okay, I'm not seeing any results, I'm stuck at my weight or I'm gaining weight, this is how it should be done. So first, level one is a calorie deficit. Level two is a reverse diet. And level three is maintenance. So foundations, where we learn all of our basics, is done during the calorie deficit. Mastery is where we do our reverse diet. Oh, sorry. It's almost time for a in-person session. Sorry. We'll get this done. Don't worry. We got some time. So sorry to bring it back. Calorie deficit is done during foundations when we learn all the basics. Mastery is where we reverse diet and other things that are really helped by that reverse diet. And then three is the transition, where we figure out where to go from there. All right. So during this foundations, we set a calorie deficit. The way that I like to set a calorie deficit is basically using your BMR as the bottom end of the range and then giving yourself 200 calories. So let's say you calculate your BMR. And if you go online and just Google BMR calculator, that first one is really solid and you can just use that. Just round it, because BMR is not an exact science. So if you get like 1475 calories, just call it 1500. All right. So let's say you got 1500. With that extra 200, you would have a calorie deficit range of 1500 to 1700 calories. And the reason that we go that low is, one, you have more room for error. In the beginning, you're going to mess up tracking. You're going to have a lot of trouble with figuring out exactly what certain portion sizes are, how to fit it into your day. And if we're aiming this low and you still screw up, chances are you're going to still lose weight. And worst case scenario, you stay exactly the same weight and we could touch it up from there. This is why a lot of people, when they hop on these trackers with these specific numbers, that they don't see any results, because they still have to touch these things up and they're not eating the right amount of calories, even though they should be. And then you also never go too low. So as long as we're above the BMR, then you're good to go, because you never, ever want to go below your basal metabolic rate. This is why when people go to weight loss clinics or they hop on these diets where coaches give them an automatic 1200 calories or 1000 calories, and they never bother to measure their BMR or get an estimate, then that's a gigantic red flag, because when you eat less than your BMR, that's where the negative stuff starts to happen. That's where people experience things like intense hunger, intense cravings, losing hair and all this stuff that you see with the people right now that are on weight loss medication like Ozempic or Zepbound, that basically are using it to starve themselves. Okay, you can do those medications in a very safe way if you follow this particular model that we're talking about, eating more than your BMR. But let's be honest, a lot of people are using it as medicated anorexia. And if you do that, that's what you're going to experience if you go below your BMR constantly and consistently. Okay, level one foundations also works on certain habits like tracking mastery, like making sure that you are actually good at tracking, because it's a skill. You can't jump into calorie counting and then all of a sudden you're perfect at tracking your calories from day one. That's not how anything works. Everything is a skill that needs to be learned. Next is establishing an eating structure, because a lot of people when they count calories, they fall into the camp of if it fits your macros and kind of just neglect everything else. They're like, hey, as long as it fits my calories, I'm fine, which to a degree is 100% true. But from a human behavior standpoint, it helps having a structure like sticking to 3 meals, 2 snacks, or having an eating window like intermittent fasting, or just having set times where you say, I'm starting to eat at this time, I stop eating at this time, because that stuff helps with consistency and adhering to it. And then improving food quality. We talk about PFC. This is, again, one of the newer concepts that's based on all the stuff that's worked in the past. Basically, it's protein, fiber, and color. So making sure that there's protein on the plate, there's fiber, and you get some sort of color so that you get a bunch of micronutrients in there too. So again, you don't fall victim to if it fits your macros and neglecting all the other important stuff. Next is mastery. That's where we reverse diet. So you lose roughly like 5 to 10% of your body weight, usually about 10 to 20 pounds in that first level. And then once you've done that, when you hit that 5 to 10% of your body weight mark, that's what's deemed in the scientific literature as a significant amount of body weight. That's usually about the time where you want to say, okay, I lost that chunk. Now let's reverse diet. That's where you start adding calories back in, 100 to 200 calories every 1 to 2 weeks while maintaining your body measurements. Now, this is important because when you add calories back in, are you going to gain weight? Yes. Are you going to gain body fat by doing it this way? No. Or such minimal amounts that it's not worth stressing over. Because what's going to happen when you add in those calories, one, your glycogen stores are going to fill up. Your muscles are going to start filling up with carbohydrates, which is a good thing because that allows us to do more work inside the gym and build more muscle. And when you build more muscle, that's going to add weight, but it's going to be good weight and it's going to help you in this next fat loss phase if you choose to do another. Okay. It helps to ignore the scale and really just lock in on your body measurements. So one of my favorite three measurements are hips, waist, and neck, because that gives you the ability to do the Navy test, which is a body fat estimation. And as long as your body fat percentage is staying the same or dropping because you're gaining more muscle and staying at the exact same body weight, your body fat percentage will go down. And that's the goal when you do this, is to maintain or reduce body fat. So, if we're being honest, the scale number means nothing. It's all about your body composition, which is going to improve your health. All right. Next, with that, that's where we start working on stress and sleep, because when you increase your calories, it can help tremendously with sleep. People don't understand that, like, when you start eating enough, all of a sudden, like for a lot of people, their sleep starts to improve. The people that can only get 5 hours all of a sudden can get 6, 7, or 8 because their body's like, whew, I'm less stressed. I can sleep now. And that also will improve stress overall. Then there's intuitive eating strategies, because when people try and intuitively eat when they start dieting and that's their strategy to lose weight, it usually doesn't go very well because their hunger signals don't line up well because they haven't been eating a high quality of food. Because intuitive eating only works if you are actually eating good quality foods. If you're eating nothing but processed stuff, you're not going to feel full off of that. And you're going to be taking in a ton of calories without feeling full. You're still going to be hungry and you're still going to lose, or you're still going to gain weight most likely. So when you're at this point and you're increasing calories, you're going to eventually hit a point where you're like, okay, I actually feel satiated. I actually feel full. And you understand, hey, that's the signal of me being full. And that's when you can really get in tune with all that. And then next is the transition. So at this point, you either repeat the cycle by reducing body fat again. So now that your calories are up, you're at a point where your measurements have stayed the same. You might've gained a little bit of muscle and your lean body mass is up and you're at a reduced risk of regaining the weight. Then you can bring the calories back down, repeat the whole cycle again. Or number two, let's say you hit your like target, your percent body fat, your goal body weight, whatever it is, then you can maintain that and start focusing on other aspects of your fitness that are performance-based. Because a big, big thing is to keep setting goals. Once you hit that point, set the next goal. Because if you rest on your laurels, that's usually when people go back to their old previous habits that got them into the place where they were. So you always need to be striving for that next thing. Just make sure that it's fun and you're actually enjoying it though. Okay. The best practice is to maintain for as many weeks as you were dieting. So if you dieted for 12 weeks, it can help to reverse and maintain for 12 weeks. But if you maintain or build lean body mass during your diet and reverse, then you're probably fine to do another fat loss phase, because when you build that muscle or maintain it, when you're losing body weight, your BMR stays about the same. If you don't strength train, if you're doing tons of cardio and you're losing lean body mass, then your metabolism goes down. And that's why so many people end up regaining all the weight. So assuming that's not you, then you're good to go. But if it is you and you lost a ton of weight that way, take some time to maintain, build it back up, do that reverse diet, build muscle. And then when you're at a point where you're really good on all of that, then jump into a fat loss phase. So in conclusion, when you have a proper plan and focus on the right things in the right order, you will see success. It'll take more time and patience than most are capable of doing on their own, though. Okay, that's where the Fit 40 coaching comes in. That it's for those people who know what to do, but they can't get themselves to do it. The people that listen to this stuff and say, all right, I'm going to do that. And then 3-4 weeks later, they get impatient and then jump on a fad diet, or they get pissed off because they don't see the results that they think they should be seeing. And they're like, all right, I give up. Or the people that just need the accountability. They're like, hey, I know what to do. I just can't take that first step. That's what the accountability is for. So if that's you, then go ahead. And if you're in the Facebook group, just comment coaching and I'll reach out. And if you're listening on the podcast, go into the show notes, submit a coaching application, and we'll talk about it. And if coaching is just a little too much for you right now, and you just want a taste of what we're talking about, and you want to attend these live trainings and participate in the monthly challenges and things like that, join the Fit 40 family if you're not already in it. All right. So thank you everybody for tuning in. I hope you learned a thing or two about a thing or two, and I will see you all same time, same place next week.